much more of the working of God the Holy Spirit in our lives, as individuals and as a church. So we've embarked on a year of looking at, finding out about, seeking to draw close to and experience more of God the Holy Spirit. And we've done a few things so far. We've started a kind of a season where we're looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which Paul lists in Galatians, the book of Galatians chapter 5, where he lists the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. These wonderful fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is really the character of God. It's really the character of Jesus. And now the work of the Holy Spirit is to birth those in us, to birth the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Something in our characters, something changing in us. And also, we're looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, supernatural tools that God gives us to do the work he's called us to do. And so we're kind of alternating, one week looking at a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and one week looking at the gift of the Holy Spirit. This week we're looking at one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we're looking at the gifts of speaking in tongues. And a kind of key verse for our series is this. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says this. About spiritual gifts, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. And Paul says, about spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. So the Apostle Paul, 2,000 years ago, speaking to the church in Corinth, speaking to the Christians there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, he's saying, I don't want you as Christians to be ignorant about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's possible, it is so possible for us not to kind of understand fully and kind of grasp and see the power of these tools. It's like you've got a toolkit. It's like you've got a toolkit full of tools, and yet we don't know how to use those tools. I feel God wants us to learn how to get those tools out, the different tools, and be able to use them to do the work that God's called us to do. And so those tools are very important for us. So Paul's heart there, that we would understand how to use them. Looking for a release of those gifts. Let's pray together this morning, shall we? Holy Spirit, we really this morning want to know you. We want to experience you. We want to ask that you teach us. We want to ask, Holy Spirit, that you come in a very powerful way amongst us this morning. And thank you for these supernatural gifts that you have given us, that we could be effective in the work that you've called us to do. Please help us this morning. Amen. Someone once said that if God withdrew the Holy Spirit from the early church, then 90% of what they did would cease to happen. But if God withdrew the Holy Spirit from today's church, 10% of what happens would cease to happen. A comment on, really, as you look through the New Testament, the early church was so dependent on the gifts of the Holy Spirit that without the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they just wouldn't be able to do what God asked them to do. And I feel God's asking us, one of our values as a church is that we're one of those churches that values the work of the Holy Spirit, the gifts and work of the Holy Spirit. And so it's really important for us that we kind of learn how this kind of particular gift is useful for us. I'm just going to read an excerpt from a book by Jackie Pullinger. Jackie Pullinger went to work in the Walled City in Hong Kong, and she went to work there amongst drug addicts, prostitutes, and something very remarkable happened as she was working, trying to really touch the lives of people who had no hope with the love of Jesus. So this is Jackie Pullinger's book, Chasing the Dragon. I spoke in tongues when a young Christian Chinese couple prayed that I would receive power to make Jesus real to others. It was not emotional for me, apart from the acute embarrassment at speaking words I didn't understand in front of strangers. I learned that praying in tongues was to help people when they didn't know how to pray or had run out of words. I was desperate to see evidence of God's power in action, and I began to pray privately in tongues for the dying in the walled city. And after 6 weeks, I noticed a difference. Extraordinary things started to happen. Now that was one person's experience of this gift of speaking in tongues. Woman, Jackie Pullinger, and all that God did through her. This morning we're going to do a Bible study. We're going to look at what a particular passage of the Bible says. Because the Bible is, of course, the thing that helps us, gives us an understanding and insight into all that God has for us. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, we're in the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I apologize. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, what we're looking at today. Now, if you are not a Christian this morning, or you're a new Christian, then it may sound, speaking in tongues may sound a bit weird, may sound a bit strange, because speaking in tongues is a supernatural gift from God. It's something which is a gift that God gives us that is a supernatural experience. So many people today are looking for supernatural experiences. They may go to see a channeler. They may go to consult a medium. They may go to consult all kinds of different people, all kinds of different experiences to find spiritual experiences. And there are a whole host of spiritual experiences out there. The problem is there are many, many spirits, but there's only one Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, because God the Holy Spirit is God, and God has revealed himself as a God of love, and a God who only has our best interests at heart, and a God who only wants to do us good, when we go to God and ask him to give us gifts, we can be confident that the gifts that God gives us are good things. That the spiritual experiences we have as we approach God and get to know God the Holy Spirit are good experiences. They do us good because God is good. The danger of anything else outside of the Holy Spirit is those is other spirits are malevolent, don't have our best interests at heart, and are dangerous. That's the thing that the Bible shows us, is that the only Spirit that we can safely interact with is the Holy Spirit. And any spiritual experience we have with the Holy Spirit must be good because it's God. Must be. And so many people today are looking for supernatural experiences. We, as followers of Jesus, have a wonderful privilege of being invited into a relationship with God where God wants us to experience supernatural things. And speaking in tongues is one of those gifts, one of those supernatural gifts that God has for us to use. Tools. It's only a tool. It is only a tool. And so it's just something to use. It's not something big or important in itself. In heaven, it won't be there. It's a tool to use now. It's a tool that God has for us to use. One of the things is that depending on your church background, depending on what kind of, whether you grew up in a Methodist church or a Baptist church, whatever, that over in historically, different Christian groups have different kind of angles on this whole thing of speaking in tongues. Whatever your particular background, we're going to look at what Paul says to the church in Corinth today. And I just really ask that doing this talk today, and then in 3 weeks' time, I'm doing another talk. It's part two. The two talks go together, really seeking to see how this gift can be effective and useful in our lives today. So this is kind of part one. Part two is going to be in a few weeks' time. So let's look at this passage together. Let's look with open hearts and just see what was Paul saying to the church in Corinth. What I want to show you is this. That I think the only way that we can understand this passage in 1 Corinthians is by seeing that, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth to correct the abuse of a gift that they were using in a public context. That was his particular kind of, that's why he wrote it. And interesting thing is that there's more written in the New Testament about speaking in tongues than about other subjects that people may think are more important. For example, there's less written about the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. There's less written about the Lord's Supper than there is about speaking in tongues. That doesn't mean speaking in tongues is more important than the Lord's Supper, but what it does indicate is that there's something about speaking in tongues that God obviously wanted us to learn and not be ignorant. Remember 1 Corinthians 12:1. I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And so, because there's so much written, there's something for us here to understand. God must have known that as Christians, we kind of wouldn't get it kind of quite clear. And so that's why there's so much, I believe, written in the Bible. What I want to show us this morning as we look through 1 Corinthians 14 is that we see there Paul giving the church in Corinth a kind of right telling off, basically, about how they were misusing the gift of tongues in public. But intertwined with all he's saying, he is giving us insight into his own private use of speaking in tongues. And so, often in the Bible, if you look at passages, you'll see themes that are interwoven. You often see it in the Old Testament, where a prophecy, for example, Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, is speaking something to the people of God at the time the book was written, and it has a prophetic impact for the Jews in the future, and there's insights about the church and about the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. All these things are kind of intertwining, beautifully weaved together, kind of themes that go straight through a passage. That's the way a lot of the Bible's written, and so we need wisdom to untangle those strands. Because what there's so much depth to Scripture. It's not just like a linear thing that's kind of... it's not been written like a kind of manual that you just kind of read this bit and then that bit and that bit. It's been beautifully weaved together by the Holy Spirit to teach us in all generations about things. And so what I'm going to show from this passage, 1 Corinthians 14, is that Paul is primarily wanting to set the Corinthians right in terms of public speaking in tongues, the gift of public speaking in tongues, but he is going to give us a lot of insights into how he, as a believer, used the gift of tongues, as Jackie Pullinger did in that bit I read out, for personal, private, devotional use. Okay, so that's what we're going to be looking for. So I'll some of you look a bit skeptical, we'll see how we go along. Now, this passage that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, what he does here, he's wanting to make a point, and the point he makes again and again and again, he makes a point and then underlines it and underlines it and underlines it, because the Corinthian church had really got it wrong big time. The church in Corinth, you can go to Corinth today, and Corinth, there's a sort of city still there in Corinth. If you go there, there was at one time... in the Roman Empire, it was a very, very flourishing, prosperous metropolis, a bit like London, really. All kinds of different people, it was very prosperous, all kinds of different things happening. The church in Corinth made big mistakes. And one of the big mistakes they make is they received the Holy Spirit, they started to speak in tongues, and then they thought that a mark of their spiritual maturity was how much they spoke in tongues. So they try to outdo each other. On Sunday mornings when they gather together, whenever they gather together as a whole church, what would happen is people would start speaking in tongues out loud, all at once, as loud as they possibly could, to show how to their friends how they were spiritual. They were more spiritual than the person next to them. Because look at me, I can speak in tongues, and I can do it louder than you can. And so the plate, it was just chaos. It was just absolute chaos. And then when it came to having the bread and the wine, people brought their own food. Next week, we're going to share the food. What they used to do in Corinth is keep their own food they brought. People that were rich would get stuffed. People that were poor would get nothing. And then people that brought lots of wine would get drunk. And so you can imagine this. Imagine this was the church of God. There were people staggering around, speaking in tongues, drunk, stuffing themselves with food. And so Paul thought, I'm going to have to sort these guys out. They've lost the plot. And so that's this passage in 1 Corinthians 14 is corrective. He's trying to say, no, 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 don't do this, do this. And so he contrasts prophecy with speaking in tongues in public. And the reason is that prophecy is primarily a public gift. Prophecy is the gift of wanting to bless other people. Prophecy is something which builds up and strengthens you. As I prophesy for you, as I share something for you, you're built up, you're strengthened. But as we're going to see in this passage in a moment, speaking in tongues is primarily a private thing. And there is a use for it in public, provided, as Paul says, it is interpreted, which we'll look at in a moment. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, it says this: follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So Paul's immediately sort of setting out the kind of table, what's going to happen. He's saying, follow the way of love. Now, during these Sundays, we're looking to grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We're looking that we would follow the way of love. In other words, that our characters would become more like Jesus. That more of the love of Jesus would flow in my life. And so Paul's saying here, whatever you do, love. It's, love is the theme. Love is the stuff. It's got to happen through a way of love, through living a character of Jesus, which is allowing God to change me. So it's no good you lot in Corinth thinking you're spiritual and being selfish. You've lost the plot totally. It's about love. It's about looking to benefit other people. That is the underlying thing. The underlying point that Paul's trying to make is that whatever we do needs to benefit other people, not benefit me. The whole point of coming to church, it doesn't benefit me, is that I benefit you. And that you benefit me. And that's the amazing thing, how God's made the church to be, is something where it's not just I individually, me and God, it's just all, it's about me seeking to bless, help, love, care for, impact your life with the love of God. So he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. What he's saying to the church is in Corinth is that you, there's something in us that has to want these things. God isn't going to force these tools on us, these spiritual gifts. I'm not going to suddenly wake up middle of the night and find that God has forced me to kind of take on these spiritual gifts. Because it's got to be something that comes from my heart. And with speaking in tongues or prophecy or word of knowledge or word of wisdom or healing, all the things that we're going to look at, all these things, they're only for me to use if I want to use them. And so there's no need to be either feeling spooky or kind of feeling it's going to be a bit scary, because these things are things that we can use if we want to. So Paul's saying, eagerly desire them. They're good things. These are worth having, these tools. Because without those tools, we're not going to be able to achieve the work that God's called you to do. One of the things you read in wonderful things you read in the Bible is that God has prepared in advance things for you to do. There's things that God has, good things, things that are exciting, things that are fulfilling, things that will make a difference in this world. But you won't do them and I won't do them unless I'm use the tools that God's given me to use. It's like trying to build a house and not having any tools to help me do it, just having my bare hands. You need a trowel, you need a cement mixer, you need things that are going to be useful to help you do it. And if we're going to achieve the potential God has in our life, these spiritual gifts, I don't believe they're optional extras. They're not kind of, well, it's nice to have these, they're kind of fun, they're kind of, no, these things are things that God wants us to have so we can be effective. Which is why Paul says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. We'll come back to prophecy another time. But I just wanted to sort of start with that today. But he carries on in verse 2. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. No one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. The day I started to speak in tongues, before I spoke it, I'm not very good at languages. At school, I struggled with foreign languages. I never was gifted in terms of being able to speak or learn other languages. I've always struggled in that kind of area. But the day before I could speak in tongues, I couldn't speak in tongues. And then God gave me a gift, the gift of speaking in tongues, and suddenly I could speak another language that I haven't learnt. And I didn't go and study it at night school. I hadn't a clue what language it is. But whatever language it is, this is what he says. He says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men or women, people, doesn't speak to people, but to God. And so the first thing we can learn about speaking in tongues is its communication. Now, prayer is communication. Prayer is the general umbrella term we use for communication between us and God. And so speaking in tongues, Paul's saying what it is, it's communication between us and God. That has got to be a good thing. Any communication between us and God has to be good. It has to, because it means we're in touch with our Creator who made us. It says no one understands what the speaker says. He utters mysteries with his spirit. Paul has given us insight here in that when I speak in tongues, it's not my mind. I'm not thinking of the words. I'm not thinking what's the word in French for whatever, or the word in German for whatever it is. I'm not going to go through a thought process. But when I'm speaking in tongues, my spirit, the very depth of me, who I am, what God has renewed, the spirit of me inside, that spirit is bypassing my mind, taking hold of my vocal cords, and I'm able to speak a language I've never learned. That, he says here, is uttering, there's something mysterious about it. Not mysterious in a kind of spooky way, but mysterious in a way that it's something what we can't kind of work out. You can't analyze it, you can't dissect it. It's something which is a mystery. And it's interesting, as you look through the book of Acts, which we will next time, often when people were prayed for initially to receive the Holy Spirit, it says they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Or they just prophesied, or they just spoke in tongues. But there was the Holy Spirit inspired, gave this gift of being able to speak in tongues. And the interesting thing about this thing called mysteries, because in 1 Corinthians 13:2, it says there, it talks about the gift of prophecy. And in 1 Corinthians 13:2, it says the gift of prophecy, it says with it you can fathom mysteries and knowledge. And so there's some link to do with prophecy and speaking in tongues. Both of them mention this thing of mysteries, things that are unknown, supernatural. Our God is a mysterious God. Mysterious in the sense that we can't analyze him. Mysterious in the sense we can't put God in a box and say there God is. Mysterious in the sense that God is unknowable unless he reveals himself. I could be the brainiest, most educated philosopher on this planet, but I could not work out God. I could not analyze God. God is only knowable through his revelation. And that's the wonderful thing. That's why God gives us the Bible, his revelation to us, as God shows us and tells us who he is and what he's like. It carries on in verse 3. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. But he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. Now, what he's starting to bring a kind of contrast in this passage, he's talking about tongues benefiting an individual and prophecy benefiting the church. There's this kind of, you can see as we go through this passage, you'll see he kind of brings this contrast. Because what he's saying is that the person that speaks in tongues, it's me. If I speak in tongues, I benefit. That's his whole argument in this passage, is that if you speak in tongues out aloud in the church, in front of everyone, where everyone listens, they're not benefited because they don't know what you're talking about. But you're benefited as an individual if you speak in tongues, because this is a key verse here, 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in the tongue edifies, builds himself up, makes himself strong. Okay? There's something happens on the inside. And that's important, because there are times where we want to be spiritually stronger. There are times where we realize that we need to be edified. Edified is made strong on the inside. It's built up, it's strengthened, it's encouraged. Who of us doesn't need to be encouraged? Who of us daily doesn't need to be encouraged? Who of us daily doesn't need to find strength on the inside? You see, as we go through our everyday lives, there's all kinds of challenges, all kinds of issues, all kinds of things in our lives. Having something, having a means by which we can be stronger on the inside, having a means by which we can be built up and strengthened, sounds to me like there's some power here that's good, that's worth having. And if you listen to, look at that, what a verse says, and often when I'm praying in tongues on my own, I will often start praying in tongues and quote this verse to myself. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in the tongue edifies himself. Because as I stir my faith, what am I doing as I'm praying in tongues? As I'm praying in tongues, what's happening is I'm building myself up. I'm making myself stronger. Something's happening on the inside. Because my spirit is communicating with the Holy Spirit. There's this kind of interaction happening. Let's continue, verse 5. Paul says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so the church may be edified. And here again, we've got the private and the public kind of thing, which he goes on to make more specific. I'll show you in the verses to come how he kind of makes the contrast even more apparent. But just at this point here, Paul says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Now, he's talking to a church which speak in tongues to excess, to the exclusion of everything else. But yet he's saying, it's something, there's something here which is important. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Then there's a comment, he says, but I would rather have you prophesy. And what I'm going to show you from later on in this passage is Paul is thinking, first of all, about his own private use, and then the public benefit of the church. And so he's here wanting to not say tongues is no good. As you read this passage, some people read 1 Corinthians 14 and think Paul has a downer on tongues. Paul thinks that tongues are no good. Paul says tongues are not relevant, but prophecy is a thing. Paul isn't saying that. What he is saying is that in the public meeting, when we gather together in twos, threes, fours as the church, prophecy is the thing to be valued. Prophecy is the thing which really will result in edification. But interestingly, he starts, before he does that thing about prophecy, he says this, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Something in the heart of Paul there, saying, guys, there's a tool here. There's something which you can use which will benefit you as individuals. He's not trying to totally knock tongues, which is possible to do. Look in this passage, you may think that. He's actually saying, there's something here which is of benefit. Let's carry on. Verse 6. Brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Paul again talking about a public meeting in the church. What point? If I came this morning, came up here, and instead of talking this, if I just started speaking in tongues to you for half an hour, yeah, I reckon you're going to have a cup of coffee and start chatting to the person next to you, I think. That's what the church in Corinth was doing, and that's why he was telling them this. He says, he goes on in verse 7, even the case of lifeless things that make a sound, such as a flute or a harp, how will anyone know the tune is being played unless there's a distinction in the notes? If the trumpet doesn't sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how can anyone know what you're saying? You'll just be speaking to the air. That's what they were doing. They were just sort of speaking out into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of language in the world, yet none is without meaning. But if I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he's a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. See, Paul has a passion for the church to be strong. Paul has a passion that when the Christians gather together, the thing that happens is the church is edified. The things that happen is that the church is built up and strengthened. Which is why in this passage he is so saying, look, prophecy is so important. And we've got opportunity, particularly in our cell groups, where we've got small groups to experience prophecy on a weekly basis. On Sunday mornings, we've had some prophetic visions, prophetic things have come out that have been shared, the children had last week that we were able to share. And at the end of the time, we have a ministry time, opportunity then for more of that prophetic gift. Goes on in verse 13. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray he may interpret what he says. And there's this gift of tongues which is for use in a congregation that goes with interpretation. And one of the things that I've occasionally seen, and for myself, is that in a meeting, sometimes someone will give say something in tongues, and then either that person or another person will then give an interpretation, will have a gift to say what it means, what God's saying through it, or whatever the prayer was that was being prayed. And Paul's saying, that's great. In a public context, that's great. But let's carry on, because there's something more he wants to show us here about the use of the gift in private. Listen to what he says in verse 14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. And this, again, when you're on your own and you're praying in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:14 is a great one to start to remind you what you're doing. 1 Corinthians 14:14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. You see, there's times, Jackie Pullinger, the story I read at the beginning, she was wanting to pray for her people. She was reaching out to the walled city, but she rang out. She didn't know what to pray. She'd pray God bless them. She prayed God healed them. But then she kind of ran out of words. And then God gave her this gift of tongues, which enabled her to pray when she ran out of words. What's Paul saying here? If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Something deep within me, something deep in my heart, something within me as a person can pray. Without knowing the situation, because it's supernatural, because speaking in tongues is supernatural, I'm praying what God wants me to pray for that particular. I've got confidence that my spirit is praying in accordance with the will of God. Listen to what he says here. There's an insight here in verse 15. What shall I do? Now, I just want to emphasize the word I here, because Paul's saying, what shall I do? And I believe he's talking about his own personal praying. Listen to what he says. What shall I do? I will pray with my spirit. I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. I think this is one of those rare little windows where Paul is giving us an insight into his own personal prayer life. Paul is kind of just little parenthesis here. Is he showing us how he prays? How does the Apostle Paul, how does this person who knows God, who knows God and experienced God and been walking with God so many years, and God has done some amazing things through this man's life. Here we get a window. He cannot be talking about what to do in church. He can't. Because if we did that, if we all stood up and all prayed in tongues and sang in tongues and prayed all at the same time, it would just be chaos. And he's just told them not to do that. So clearly he can't be talking about what to do in church. He's talking about his own personal private prayer time. What shall I do when I pray? He says, I will pray with my spirit, I will pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit and I will sing with my mind. Paul is giving us a prayer pattern. If you think, how am I going to pray for an hour? Paul's just given us an insight as how he prayed for an hour, however long he prayed for. Quarter of an hour, praying in tongues. So he would be praying in tongues. He start off by 1 Corinthians, well, he wouldn't say 1 Corinthians because he wrote it, would he? But 1 Corinthians 14:4, he speaks in a tongue, edifies himself. 1 Corinthians 14:14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Off he starts to pray for a quarter of an hour in tongues, having faith that God's giving him the burden to pray for. His mind is unfruitful, his mind doesn't understand it, but he's praying in tongues. And then he says, what does he say next? He says, I pray with my mind. So the next quarter of an hour, he's praying, thinking, what can I pray for this person? What can I pray for that situation? What can I pray for my friends? What can I pray? And he's thinking, what can I pray? Looking to pray. Then what does he do the next quarter of an hour? He sings in his spirit. In other words, instead of speaking in tongues, he sings in tongues. Puts on a CD. I suppose he has CD players in those days, but Put on, if you're not a good singer, put on a CD and sing, just sing along in tongues. Rather than sing the words, sing in tongues for a quarter of an hour. And then it says, I sing with my mind. So he would have joined in with Graham Kendrick or whoever was singing, just to sing along to the next quarter of an hour. You see that Paul's giving us a window into how he prayed. And so there's insight there to help us. If someone says, okay, pray for an hour, off you go, I'm timing you. You think, well, an hour's a long time. What am I going to do? Paul shows us that even Apostle Paul structured his times of prayer. They weren't just unstructured times. He had a pattern of things that he did. And that's a great insight to help us. So I just suggest that to you. Maybe try 5 minutes speaking in tongues. 5 minutes to start with. Praying with your mind, 5 minutes swinging in tongues, 5 minutes singing along to a cassette, or if you're a musician, to your own music. But do you see the reason why I think it's a contrast is immediately Paul says this in the next sentence. And he says, if you're praising God with your spirit, how can anyone who finds himself among those who don't understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he doesn't know what you're saying? And so he's saying, what he's saying is that in a meeting, if I was to do this in a meeting, if I was to speak in tongues in a meeting, we all do it all together, how are people to know what you're saying? They're not to know, are they? Now, it doesn't matter if you're on your own, because if you're on your own, it's just you and God, and it's your own devotional time, your own relationship with God. But together, we've not to be selfish and just think about me and God, we're to think about us together. And so he's saying there, two insights, though, about speaking in tongues. He says, praising God with your spirit. The word speaking in tongues can be praise. Interesting. And he says, it carries on there in the same verse. He says, don't understand, say amen to your thanksgiving. And so there's a thing, there's some thanksgiving going on. In verse 17, you may be giving thanks well enough. In other words, speaking in tongues can be praise and it can be thanks. So he's giving us insights here. Speaking in tongues is communication with God, some kind of prayer. Speaking in tongues is, he says, I'll pray with my spirit. Some sense of maybe intercession where you're praying for something with your spirit. But also it can be praise and it can be thanksgiving. And so he's showing there that just as with our minds we can pray different types of prayer, speaking in tongues we can pray different types of prayer. And it may be a prayer of thanksgiving. Sometimes I've been speaking in tongues. It's felt like praise. It's felt light and it's felt magnificent, as though it's magnifying God. Other times it's felt more like I'm praying for somebody, praying to break through in a situation, praying to see God move powerfully. He goes on, he says this, verse 17. It says, you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified, built up and strengthened, which is why Paul didn't want them all to do it all at the same time in the church. Then there's verse 18, which is a remarkable claim by Paul. This is Paul who, visiting a church that spoke in tongues all the time during their meetings, Paul says this to them, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. What a claim to make. Paul must have been praying in tongues an awful lot, because the Corinthian church, that was their kind of what their mark of spirituality was, speaking in tongues. Paul says, look, I pray in tongues more than all of you. So Paul, in his own devotional life, must be, as he's going on the bus, as he's catching the bus to Damascus, wherever he was, that he must have been speaking in tongues, that he, as he's walking down the street, he must have been speaking in tongues, quite under his breath, obviously, otherwise they'd have locked him up. but the thing about speaking in tongues, it's a gift that you can use any time. It's a way of praying. Because your mind's not engaged, you could be driving along, concentrating fully on the road and everything that's happened, and yet you can be quietly, under your breath, you can be speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. Because it's your spirit that's praying, not your mind. Which is why if you're driving along and you're praying with your mind and you're driving, you have to be careful. Because you know you're not concentrating fully on the road ahead. But Paul makes this amazing statement. Surely, if the great Apostle Paul, who God used arguably more than anyone else in the New Testament period to establish the Church of God, if he thought it was the personal use of the gift was so important, then surely there's something here. There's some benefit here for us as individuals. There's something here that's worth having. There's something that's good to have. Surely. See, if Paul was trying to put down speaking in tongues, the last thing he would have said is that verse 18. Because that would have inflamed the Corinthians to say, again, about speaking in tongues. But because he's not trying to put down speaking in tongues, he's trying to put down the misuse of public speaking in tongues. That's why he can say that and say it so clearly. Now, the reason why I think that, why I'm kind of bringing, trying to separate these two strands in this passage, so if you look at verse 19, this little phrase, but in the church. You see, Paul's been going on about his own private quiet time, contrasting, and it's this interweaving between his personal use of tongues and the public abuse of tongues. They've been interweaved again and again and again. And now he wants to kind of underline it and say, look, but in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct you than 10,000 in a tongue. So what is that little phrase, but in the church, means he's contrasting the personal use not in the church, in other words, in your own devotional times, with the use in the church. And in 1 Corinthians 12:30, it says, do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Where he's talking about the special gift that there is for speaking in tongues in a meeting. And in any church, there'll be 1, 2, 3, 4. There'll be a number of people who have the gift of being able to bring a tongue in a public meeting. And there's an interpretation that goes with that. Back to verse 20. Stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. In your thinking, be adults. In the law, it's written, through the men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak this people. But even then, they will not listen to me. Tongues are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers and not for unbelievers. And there's something in the Old Testament where it kind of quotes about speaking in tongues. It brings a quotation about through the lips of foreigners. He's saying there's a sign. Speaking in tongues is a sign. And there's something supernatural about speaking in tongues. It's an evidence. It's supernatural evidence that we are part of the people of God. It's not kind of saying, oh, I'm a Christian because I speak in tongues. No, not at all. But what it is, it's just an indicator. It's a little sign that says that there's something supernatural about the people of God. That these people that speak in tongues, it's a supernatural thing. It's a God thing. It's a wonderful thing that God gives. Paul continues here in verse 23. If the whole church comes together, everyone speaks in tongues. Some who don't understand or some unbelievers come in, they'll think you're out of your mind. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everyone is prophesying, he'll be convinced by all that he's a sinner and be judged by all. The secrets of his heart will be laid bare. He'll fall down, worship God, say, God is really among you. What should we say? When you come together, everyone has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. All must be done for the strengthening of the church. So you see what he's saying there? When you come together as the church, the key issue is strengthening of the church. Verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, 2 or the most 3 should speak, 1 at a time, and someone must interpret. And he kind of goes on. I won't kind of read. You can read that all at home, but just verse down to verse 37, Paul really wants to kind of underline this whole topic. So he says this: if anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I'm writing to you is the Lord's command. See, Paul wanted to say, look, I want you to know that this is not just my own opinions that I made up, but this is really important. You get this clear. Something for us there. And then he goes on in verse 38, if he ignores this, he himself is to be ignored. It's quite a strong kind of underlining there. It says, be eager to prophesy, don't forbid speaking in tongues, but let everything be done in a fitting and orderly way. Now, as we've been through, we're going to come back and look at other bits to do with speaking in tongues, because speaking in tongues is a gift, I believe, that's powerful for us to be able to use. In a meeting context, there'll only be 1, 2, 3, 4 of Paul we just heard there, who would have that gift to be able to use it in terms of a meeting. But in terms of our own personal use, Paul said to the Corinthian church, I want you all to speak in tongues. And there's something about speaking in tongues where it's a tool. You don't have to do it. You're not any less if you don't. There's not grade A Christians that speak in tongues and grade B Christians that don't. It's only a tool. It's only something that it's like saying, I've got a brand new spanner, therefore I'm a really kind of great person. Well, no, okay, it's only a spanner. And speaking in tongues is only a spanner. It's only a tool that God has given us to use. And it's only if we want it. He said, be eager to desire these things. Whereas if we don't, God's not going to force it on us. What I wanted to say this morning is that there is a tool available for us if we want to use for our own personal devotion. Paul found it so useful. I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. What shall I do? I'll pray with my spirit and I'll pray with my mind. I'll sing with my spirit and I'll sing with my mind. Paul was saying, look, this is really helpful. I find it really useful in my own times with God. And there's a tool here for us to get hold of if we want it. Years ago, this was about 9 years ago, we had it as a couple who were missionaries to Tajikistan, Patrick and Carol Wang, you may remember them. They've moved, they're working in Russia now. But when they were here with us in London, they were here with us for 2 years, and we had a great time while we were helping prepare them, and they were blessing us for their missionary work abroad. But when their first child was born, Carol Wang, when she went into labour, it wasn't straightforward. She was a midwife, which always always kind of mitigates against it, knowing all the things that can go wrong. And so she knew things weren't going well. There was some problems with her labour. And so Patrick, husband, phoned me. It was during the day. He phoned me. I was at home. He phoned me and said, will you pray for this labour, because it's not going good. So I started to pray. And labours can be long time. I thought, how am I going to keep going? This could be a long haul. The thing about praying in tongues is, first of all, it means we can pray with the wisdom that God gives to pray for a situation, intercede, ask that God would help. I asked him, please, would you give me updates? So I need some encouragement here. I could be here a long time. He'd phone up and say, it's getting a bit better, keep praying. Or it's getting worse, pray harder. Fortunately, it was only 4 hours later that she gave birth to Lawrence, who's a lovely, bouncing, fantastic boy. But the thing is that I found speaking in tongues to be absolutely...